Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Victorious Living. Who am I? I am your host, founder of Woman of God Ministries, Evangelist CC Caldwell Miller. I'm so glad you decided to take some time out today to find out what God says about you. Our show's aim is to really revolutionize the way you think about and renew your seeing yourself. It's important that you see yourself as God sees you. You were created in the image and likeness of God. And you possess the character of Jesus Christ. It is our prayer that you will be transformed in your thinking, your living, your giving, and your creativity, so that you will live the life you were born to live. It is time for you to live your life totally as God masterfully designed you to in his likeness and purposely, integrity and godly character, because you were chosen by God, created to serve. It is time for you to live your victorious life. And we've been talking about the characteristics of living this victorious life as a child of the Most High God. Today we want to talk about being chosen. Being chosen. Say with me, I am chosen. And says, but ye are a chosen nation, a peculiar praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. So you have been chosen. It comes from the King James Version, and it is not seen in our more modern English translations. This is because at the time the King James Version was translated, the word peculiar was often used to refer to something belonging to someone, as in someone's property. Now, if we look up the word peculiar in our dictionary today, we would still see that this is one of the meanings that this word can have. Probably the most common usage of this word, however, is referring to someone or something that is strange, odd, or common. Yet alternative meaning or someone belongs exclusively to some person, some group, or some thing, or to refer to a property or privilege. Is it not just like the devil? We're talking about being chosen, and he wants to interrupt the situation, but he has no power because God is in control. Now, I was talking about peculiar and how in this verse, 1 Peter 2 and 9, Peter's not saying that Christians are odd or unusual people. Even though the world often looks at us that way, what this passage is communicating is that Christians or believers are people who belong to God. They are his own possession. Now, another way of saying this is that believers are God's own special people. So I want you to understand that you that are listening are God's own special people. As we compare verse, consider the alternative meaning of the word peculiar, it becomes very clear that peculiar in this verse is referring to the fact that believers are a special people. Because they were chosen from before the foundation of the earth to be God's own possession, those who are born again are different from the world around them because they are being transformed by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Also, they are different because having been born again by the Spirit of God and believing in Christ for salvation, they have received the right to become children of God, according to John 1 and 12. Now, while it's true that believers are different, it is believers standing as the adopted children of God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus, and God's own special people that make us peculiar. Now, there's various translations. You have the New King James Version that says, because you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Then you have the NIV, because you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness again into the wonderful light. So there's various scriptures based on translation about the scripture that we're talking about. But there are some distinguishing marks of people of God which separate them from the world. You see, Peter has just been talking about how Christ is the capstone to suffer when they were expecting a conqueror. As the Jews rejected him at his coming, so has the rest of the unbelieving world rejected and stumbled over him ever since. So you have to know, however, this is not true for believers, because in verse 9, Peter begins with, "But you are a chosen people." Christians should be drastically different from the world. Christ taught the same thing in Matthew 5:13, and he said, "You are the salt of the earth. You preserve the world from decay. You have tremendous value." He said, "You are the light of the world," according to verse 14. Among the people of the earth, there are people who are radically different. Because of this difference, Christians often will be mocked and they will be persecuted, as was happening to the believers in this context. Peter writes to encourage them, but also to reinforce why they should continue to be different. You see, in the midst of persecution and suffering for our faith, there can be a tendency to dull the light and the witness of our lives in order to avoid offense. There can be a tendency to begin to compromise. And as a chosen people, we can't compromise today. We have to stand up for Christ no matter what. You know, this seems to be happening here in the text. This is why Peter urges them to live as strangers, according to 1 Peter 2:11, and abstain from sinful desires. Continue to be different. Continue to be salty. Continue to be light. And do not compromise with sin in the face of persecution, Peter reminds them of who they are and what distinguishes them. For some of us, this text will be a challenge, as it was to the church, to continue to remain different, to continue not to compromise at the workplace or amongst friends. For others, it may be a call to repent from the ways of the world. And we have been called and we have been chosen and we have been separated and set aside to do God's work in the kingdom. And it's so important that we understand that this choosing is all to the praise and of his glorious grace and God's unmerited favor. So this was important for Christians to hear because they were deemed by others as the scum of the earth and therefore treated as such, according to 1 Corinthians 4:9-13. This choosing represented their salvation. They were chosen by God to receive salvation and to enjoy him forever. So what were they chosen for? The Bible says, again, according to 1 Peter 2:9-10, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You see, once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So in this text, it can be interpreted to mean because you are a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, a holy people, a peculiar people. And we've talked about what peculiar means here. It means that you belong to a certain group or person, not that you were strange or that you were odd. And royal priesthood means that you were chosen believers for an audience that was primarily Jewish, that would have stood out. But in the Old Testament, the monarchy and the priesthood were strictly separated. The priest came from the lineage of Aaron, from the tribe of Levi, but only they could approach God at the temple. Only they could offer the sacrifices. The rest of the Jews could not. So we see the strict separation of those two roles, two kings that were judged by God for really trying to combine the priesthood and the kingship. King Saul was anxious to go to battle, and instead of waiting for the priest Samuel to come and offer a sacrifice to the Lord, he decided to do it himself, as we often do. Instead of waiting, we make decisions and choose things that God would not have chosen for us, but we choose it, and then we have to deal with the consequences of those actions. And God told Samuel because of this that he sought a man after his own heart to rule. Saul was judged for trying to merge the priesthood and the kingship. We also see that in 2 Chronicles 26:16-21 with King Uzziah, when he became very successful and therefore prideful, he felt that because he was so great, he could burn incense in the temple. Again, a work specifically for priests to do. The priests gathered together to confront him and said, "You will not be blessed by the Lord because you have been unfaithful." And King Uzziah became angry at this and reached out to burn the incense and looked out on his hand because God judged him. He stepped down from being the kingship to his son, and he died. To be a royal priesthood, there are privileges, and you cannot go against what God says, simply put, because you want to do it your way. Christians being royal priests represent the fact that we have been united with Christ. We are his body, and whatever glory Christ receives, we receive as well. And so you have to really, really understand that. So this scripture of being chosen, when you are chosen, that means we are people possessed by God. Peter declares that the church was people belonging to God. Again, this was something said about Israel in Deuteronomy 7:6, where it says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasure. We are his people and he is our God." So to be chosen is really an honor. And we are people who have received mercy as God's chosen people. Once you were not a people of God, but now you are the people of God. Once you did not receive mercy, and now you receive mercy. So Peter says that the church has received mercy. They were a people whom God did not give the judgment and punishment that they deserved. And I would say that today we are blessed that we are not really, a lot of times we don't pay the price that we could pay for being God's chosen people and not necessarily following the instructions that God has given us in that manner. And believers and being chosen, we are worshiping people. That's another privilege of believers, is that they're commissioned to declare the praises of God. And we have to know that being chosen separates this verse, and to a point, since it marks the first responsibility given to believers in this passage. Believers have been saved from their darkness of sin out of the world in order to be unique people who worship God. And again, this would have stood out to a primarily Jewish congregation or Gentiles familiar with the Old Testament. It mirrors God's original call on Israel. He called them out of Egypt for the purpose of worshiping the Lord. And Moses said, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord God of the Hebrews says, let my people go so that they may worship me. So as God's chosen people, we have a mandate to worship God. Israel was called out of Egypt to worship God in the wilderness, and this would distinguish them from all the nations of the earth. Similarly, one of the things that should distinguish the life of a believer is a life of worship. This should separate us from all other people, groups on the planet. Believers are supposed to worship God. This is a spirit of gratitude to God for what he's done and for what he will do in our lives. In fact, we see this distinguished even more when Paul talks about God's judgment on the unbelieving in Romans 1. He says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For also they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. So when Paul describes the unbelieving world, he describes them as people that neither glorified God nor gave him thanks. They are distinguished as people whose hearts are darkened, ones who do not worship or give thanks to God. In fact, if you listen to the instruction Paul gives the children of God in Philippians, he says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which ye shine like stars in the universe. That's Philippians 2:14-15. He says, do everything without complaining and murmuring. For what purpose? So that you can be blameless. Paul also pictures this world as dark and the children of God as light and stars. And that's what we are to be as chosen people. See, don't we see this with Job when Job had finally, he lost everything, his family, his job, his health. How did he respond? He says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Job 1:21. He doesn't curse God or raiders who killed his children. He instead praised God. That type of worship and praise is the light in the dark world that we live in today. Because if you see in the world system where people don't see God as in control, they are prone to point fingers, complain about bosses, the government, the weather, everything. However, for the believer who sees their Father in control of everything, it should be drastically different. So again, you have to know that that's a benefit of being chosen, worshiping, thanksgiving. Believers are people away from home. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Next, he talks about another distinguishing factor that separates them from the world. He calls them the aliens and strangers in this world because, frankly, we have to understand this is not, as a believer, that is, this is not our home. we're foreigners here. We're on, I would even like it to say we're on vacation. Heaven is our home. We are strangers here on earth. But we have to work out our soul salvation and do what we need to do here on earth so that we can go back home. Now, similarly, we are different from everybody else, and we should not look like the world because this is not our home. This is not our permanent residence. There should be extreme differences between you and the world because you are from another place with a different culture, language, as well as different norms. Another thing that should distinguish the believer from the world, Peter says it, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle spirit, a quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. And Peter later talks about or tells the woman not to be consumed with the outward, it's our inner. We were chosen because of our inner spirit, our inner countenance, our inner being. But another benefit for being chosen is believers are a people at war. I share with you that it says we are at war against your soul. The major difference that makes us pilgrims or strangers on the earth in this passage is a war that we fight in and a world that does not. One of the bad things about a lot of evangelism in the church is that sometimes the evangelist promises that your life will get better if you accept Christ. It will be easier. You will hit more home runs and make more money. Maybe some of that is true, but for most Christians, we would say our life actually gets harder in following Christ. Now, one of the ways it gets harder is because you enter into battle, not even focusing on the spiritual battle of demons and principalities, but the daily war with our inner desires, according to Romans 7:15-23. So this is one of the things that we should mark, that will mark us, really, as believers and make us different. We have to know that we have to be that we have been chosen, we have been set apart, we have been separated. We are beautiful people. 1 Peter 2:12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So again, here Peter says that these chosen people, these strangers and soldiers, should live such a good life that pagans will glorify God on the day he comes back. Now, the word good can be translated into beautiful. Peter says that Christians, even though they are being persecuted and mocked for their beliefs by unbelievers, should respond by demonstrating a beautiful life, which will one day help these pagans glorify God on the day of his visitation. We are to be the example. We are in the world, but are not supposed to be of the world as God's chosen people. So the characteristic that should mark the lives of believers and separate them from the world, making us chosen, believers are a chosen people with many privileges. They are chosen by God to be royal priests, a holy people, a possession of God, and a people who have received mercy. They are to be believers that are worshiping people. Believers who are people away from home, pilgrims who are waiting and seeking the kingdom of God. Believers who are warring people fighting against the flesh. And this flesh is something. We have to keep this flesh under subjection every single day. That's why we must die daily. Believers are a people with beautiful eyes, especially when faced with persecution. So it's so important to understand that you are chosen. You have been chosen by God. And there is an expectation that he has for your life as a chosen people. So you must take the time that you need to seek him on a daily basis as his chosen vessel to find out what it is he desires of you. Because he has a purpose. He didn't choose you without a plan or purpose. You have an assignment. You were chosen to do something special, something great in the kingdom, and we have to be careful and not allow the world to cause us to follow their laws, their train of thought, their way of doing things. And because we're going to have to answer to God. If we are not following his mandate, if we're not obedient to his word, we're going to pay a price for that if we don't get it straight, if we don't repent and ask for forgiveness, when we do things, say things, and respond in ways that are not godly. So when we talk about living a victorious life, who am I? You are chosen. You are chosen for such a time as this, but you have to stand up and hold yourself accountable for what you say and what you do, because some of us will be the only Jesus that people will ever see. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be responsible for causing someone to miss God at all. So you are chosen. You are chosen. This has been Victorious Living, Who Am I? I am your host, Evangelist Cece Caldwell Miller of Woman of God Ministries. You can connect with us on the web at womanofgodministries.info. You can find us on Twitter at God Design Lady. Same thing on Facebook, God Design Lady and Women of God Ministries. You can email us with any questions, prayer requests at chosenbygodtoserve@gmail.com, or you can call us at 908-827-1470. Remember, you were created by God and chosen to serve, and you ought to desire more of him and less of him.
Turn it away.